Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. Welcome to the weekend. It's Thursday. I'm Mark Goldbridge and have we got a show for you this morning. What is it about Thursdays that are always the best day of the week? We've got Ben Jacobs live at 1:45. We'll be delving into that Anderson story, but we've got stories for you this morning. We're going to be starting off about Mainoo's transfer plea. We've also been linked to Adeyemi, which brings a massive smile to my face because I watch a lot of the Bundesliga this season. That's football is the home of the Bundesliga. And Adeyemi is a player I was literally talking about on the highlights show last week about he's got a move in him. He's a player that can be not. I could see Adeyemi going to like Liverpool and being the next Mo Salah, you know, and that sounds incredible. And I'm probably going to get clipped, but I genuinely think he is at 23 going to go somewhere and be really good if he makes the right move. Why couldn't it be Man United? People say we've got Mbeumo, we've got Cunha. Yeah, we've got Mbeumo, we've got Cunha. What else have we got? If anything happens, we've got Mount, we've got Xerxes. Bruno doesn't play there. Ahmad plays right wing back, you know. Adeyemi could go up front as well. So I quite like it. Yeah, I do quite like it. We'll talk about that. Also, Solskjaer has been speaking with the overlap crew and he's spoken about McTominay, what a mistake that was. He's spoken about Marcus Rashford and he's also spoken about Amrim's style of play and how he likes it. Of course, he bloody likes it. It's very similar to what he did. You don't have possession, you're hard to score against, and you rely on moments. So Solskjaer glazing Amrim, we'll talk about that in a little bit depth as well. Got a few other bits to get into too. But let me start off by saying, please do smash a like on the video and subscribe. And don't forget that we have got Ben Jacobs at 1:45. So we'll be delving into that Anderson midfield story in greater depth. But I want to talk about the midfield straight away. And I want to start off with Mainoo. Now, this is coming in from our source. We've not had much over the season, really. We had a lot at the end of last season and a lot over the summer. But as I say, this is coming in first and foremost from Fabrizio Romano, who says that Mainoo remains on Napoli's list, who are looking for a midfielder this January. Mainoo's move depends on Manchester United, who are unwilling to let him go at the moment. So effectively, probably what we basically know, Mainoo would like to go. Man United won't let him go. And there are clubs that want him. Further to that, what we understand, and I actually said this on Sunday night, that we're waiting on a big story in this international break. I actually thought there might be two again like there was last year, but we haven't really had the one. The one I was expecting was a little bit more around what we're putting here now, around the Mainoo situation. It's coming to a head. Man United is starting to look to the summer and to January, hopefully, in relation to a midfielder. And this is the time to do it. This is the last time people get off. We've got 10 games to play, and we're not even in Europe or the Carabao Cup. We've got 10 games to play basically by the start of January. So the schedule is intense. This 2 weeks is downtime for the board and everybody else to assess what they're going to do in January. But it's not just incomings, it's outgoings as well. Now, as you know, Xerxes and Mainoo are not international duty. So this is a really key period for them to sit down and discuss with Manchester United what is happening. I expected that to come out this week. Maybe it'll come out next week. But what I can tell you is that from Mainoo's camp, they are very much at a point where they are just saying, let me go or play me. It's that simple. And I would argue that they have actually got every right to do that. And it might frustrate some people, but the reality is, what I was told is that even if over the next 10 games, Man United are cruising, they're 3-0 up against Everton and he brings Mainoo on for Bruno for the last half an hour. And then Man United are cruising against Wolves and Mainoo gets 45 minutes. Is that really going to satisfy the itch of Mainoo who wants to play football? You know, and he's not even getting that at the moment. He's not even getting the half an hour or the 45 minutes. So even if that did happen and the results go the way we think they can over the next 10 games, and Maynou gets a little bit more game time, is he actually going to start? If he comes on for half an hour, will he start? Will he get a start? And that's the thing that people are missing here. This is basically start me or let me go. And I don't think he's going to start him, to be completely honest with you. So the ball is going to be in the club's court. But from Maynou's situation, and obviously someone just said, what about Xerxes? Well, we're talking about Maynou. We're talking about midfield, because obviously if United let Maynou go, they've got to replace him. And I think that's sort of where we are now. You know, who are the villains in this piece? Well, there isn't a villain, but who are the gatekeepers in this piece? It's Ruben Amorim and it's the board. If we want a midfielder in January, then Maynou needs to go. And Maynou does need to go for his own ability. So we're not even playing the game of, oh, it's sacrilege to let Cobby go. He wants to go because he needs to play football. And Man United have basically got this period from today until January the 1st to use him or lose him. The question is, will they say you're not going? Which, as we've seen with Harry Amass at Sheffield Wednesday, the feedback is incredible. Like, I know a couple of Sheffield Wednesday fans, but you don't even need to look at it. They absolutely love him. The only problem they've got is that they're going to have to send him back. So that loan deal for him is absolutely incredible. Championship, by the way. I know Sheffield Wednesday probably will get relegated, but he's playing in the Championship every week on loan. They love him. He's doing really, really well. That's what a loan deal should be. So I think with Maynou, I'd be very surprised if this doesn't come out in the next few days, that demand is there, like, play me or let me go. Because ultimately, if you don't let me go in January and you continue to pick Bruno and Casemiro, which he will, then you're basically sabotaging my career. And some people might say that's harsh. He's got a contract. His contract's crap, by the way. I don't want to add that in, but his contract is rubbish. He's on, like, I don't even want to speculate, but I think it's below 40 grand a week. So he's on crap money. He's in a bad situation to negotiate a new contract because he's not playing. He's not being picked and they won't let him go. So he's sort of in a situation, and also he's very rusty. I mean, Maynou is like the bike that's been left out over the winter. You know, it's just, he is getting rustier and rustier by the day. So that conversation will be going on this week. And it's basically going to be Maynou saying, look, either play me or let me go. Not in a demand way. It's almost like, are you going to play me? Or are you just going to keep me on the bench as a backup in case you have an injury crisis, which is not fair on me and it's not fair on my development at 20. So there are outs for Maynou. There is Napoli, there is West Ham, there is lots of stuff. But it's ultimately going to come down to whether Manchester United want to do anything about it. But tell me he's wrong. I don't think he is wrong. I don't think he's wrong at all. I think he'd be a fool to sit there and go, I'm just going to wait for my chance. He's not going to get the chance. Not going to happen. It has happened before. I've got to say, Harry Maguire at times has looked done, and then a couple of injuries at centre-back and he's back. But he's up against two people who don't seem to get injured. Casemiro, even if he got injured, he might go with Ugarte. He's up against Bruno. Amorim said it himself. He's up against Bruno, and Bruno never gets injured. So I personally think Bruno is going to stay here for the whole season and play every week. Maynou isn't going to get picked. You loan Maynou out. You bring somebody in like Conor Gallagher or whatever, and happy days. Because if Bruno got injured, you could still play Casemiro Ugarte, Casemiro Gallagher. You could even put Mason Mount in there. There's things you can do. So look, I think United need to let Maynou go and then they can bring somebody else in. But we are still dealing with a club that's owned by the Glazers. And I'm pretty sure they'll sit there and go, so we spend a little bit of money and Maynou can go, or we keep Maynou and we don't spend any money. And also he's on really low wages. I mean, think about it from this point of view. And I think it is a very good point. You let Maynou go to Napoli. Napoli will be like, thank you very much. We'll cover all of his wages because, you know, it's not a Rashford going to Barcelona or Sancho going to Villa on 300 grand a week. We're probably, you know, I know Barcelona are covering off Rashford's wages, but we didn't get a loan fee. He's scoring goals, he's getting assists, and all they're doing is covering his wage because it's so bloody big. Maynou goes to Napoli. They're not going to argue about anything. They're going to go, oh, what? He's on 30 grand a week. Yeah, we'll pay those wages. So
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What I'm saying is, if Man United went for Conor Gallagher and let Maynou go, Maynou's probably 40 grand a week. Conor Gallagher, 100 grand a week. So it's going to cost us to bring Conor Gallagher in, just on wages. So you can see why the Glazers might go, let's not let him go. Let's not let him go. So look, we'll have to wait and see. But logically for me, let me know your thoughts. I'm at the point now where I think at the end of August, it was sort of like, get your head down and work. We don't want you to go. I think now at the end of November or mid-November, it's like, you know, the situation has changed. He's not trusted. He's not getting minutes. He's getting worse by the game because he's not getting minutes. He needs game time. He's a Man United player. Get him out on loan. I'd actually be excited by Maynou going on loan. I'd actually watch him play for Napoli. That's how much I rate the player and how interested I'd be to see if he can get back. If Maynou went out on loan, I'd watch him. I'd watch him play because he's still our player. He's only 20. He's still got a future, but he needs bloody game time. You know, I wouldn't even be opposed to sending him on loan to a championship club. He'd probably have a problem with that himself. But I don't know whether you're with me on that. I do feel like just get him out playing games. He's our player. You know, forget this bloody battle between Amorim and Maynou and what the bloody hell's going on. I don't know. Get him out playing football. He needs to play football. And it's not going to happen at Man United. Simple. Let me talk to you. We'll come back to that because we've got a lot to get through this morning. We've got Solskjaer's comments as well. But this caught my eye this morning and I like it a lot. So coming in from Bild in Germany, Adeyemi is causing a stir at Dortmund, not only on the pitch, but also on a personal level. His emotional outbursts and strained relationship with Kovac are raising questions. There has been an exchange between Jorge Mendes and Manchester United about a move for Adeyemi. Further to that, Adeyemi wants a long-term contract at Dortmund with a release clause of £70 million. Now, look, I'll be completely honest here. I'm a hypocrite because what draws your attention to that article beyond Adeyemi's a good player, Jorge Mendes might be in conversations with Manchester United, is also the issues on a personal level and the emotional outbursts and the strange relationships. We have been here with a player from Dortmund before in relation to Jadon Sancho, but But I would balance that with the fact that I completely agree that when you've got a player that, and he got subbed off, I think it was against Union Berlin. No, it was Cologne. He got subbed off against Cologne and he was not very happy at all. But he has been brilliant for Dortmund this season. And I think he's arguably their best player. I also think at 23, he's going to go somewhere, in my opinion, like Real Madrid, Barcelona, Liverpool, somewhere like that. And I think he'll go trajectory level. I think he will mature into, as I said at the start of the show, I think he's good enough that he can be like a Salah. I think that's a big statement, I know, but I genuinely think he's got that. And I think you need to watch him a little bit more to understand where I'm coming from. But I think Adeyemi is a fantastic player. Obviously, I'd want us to do our homework around, you know, personality, etc. But it's not like nobody else wanted Jadon Sancho. This is the thing that I always say. People go, oh, we don't want another Sancho. No, who else wanted Sancho? We went for him for 2 years. This is something that never gets discussed about Sancho. We went for him one summer, nobody went for him, and then we went for him again. And all that really happened is Dortmund just played us for a price and we ended up paying it. But nobody else ever wanted Sancho. Nobody ever wanted Sancho apart from us. In the case of Adeyemi, I genuinely think Munich, Barcelona, and a top Premier League club will be interested in him. So you know, that sort of lessens the risk of anything around emotion, you know, personality, etc. People say, where would he fit in at Manchester United? But if we're projecting to be a big club for the next 5 years, then why are we buying all these 16, 17 year olds? Like, it works in the first team as well. You can't just go, we've got Mbeumo and we've got Cunha, so we're sorted. Like, with all due respect, Lisandro Martinez was bought a few years ago, was sorted for the next 5 years. Half of that, he's been injured. You can't predict what's going to happen. And also, what if they start playing badly? What if they turn into a flop? So I look beyond Cunha and Mbeumo and them two number 10 positions, and I think, yeah, Ahmad can play there, but surely he's going to be the right wing back. Yeah, Mason Mount can play there, but when's he going to be fit? Xerxes going to be gone. Bruno never plays there. So I do think that there is capacity for another player in that team, especially if you're playing Champions League football. And also, you can move people around, as we've seen with Sesko. So look, it's early days on that one, but it's interesting that George Mendes is now involved with Adeyemi and has apparently had some conversations with Manchester United. Where we would get the money from for that becomes, you know, massively challenging, but we're early days conversation on it. I would really like him. Obviously, Jim says, what about the centre midfield? But sorry, Jim. I think with regards to centre midfield, we need to buy two midfielders. Of course we do. And interestingly, I saw something this morning and I forget where it came from. Chelsea, Wharton. There was an article this morning about Chelsea and Adam Wharton and how they really, really rate him. And they're going to go hard to get him. And there was even talk of January, but more realistically, they'll go for him in the summer. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. And that's a big story, because whether it comes true or not, it's exactly what we've been talking about. We will not have a free run at Wharton, Anderson, Stiller and Belaba and be able to sign two. We won't have a free run. And that Chelsea story, you can use it for everybody, every one of those targets I've just said, because gone are the days where you look at Chelsea and go, well, they don't need Wharton. They've got Caicedo, they've got Enzo, they've got Lavia, they've got Reece James, they've got Cole Palmer, they've got God knows who else. That won't stop Chelsea going for Adam Wharton, because their mentality is, and we've seen it already, look at how many wingers they've got. They'll get rid of someone very, very quickly. Madueke, you can go to Arsenal. You know, we'll get Garnacho and Gittins. Estevao as well. You know, they won't just go, we've got Caicedo and Enzo, we don't need a midfielder. They'll go, he looks like he's going to be really good, let's get him. You know, we've got loads of games, let's get him. And they will do it. Chelsea will do it. And to a certain extent, Arsenal might, Liverpool might, Man City might. So when we're talking about midfielders, we do need to buy two. But I think there's this weird naivety that we're just going to choose two from Belaba, Stiller, Anderson and Wharton. And I'm telling you now, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal all probably get Champions League football, which means it's another £100 million of pure profit going into clubs that don't actually need it other than to spend it on players, as we saw in the previous summer. So I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool have a bad season that they go, Elliot Anderson, we'll get him in. Yeah, we've got McAllister. Yeah, we've got Gravenberch. Yeah, we've got Curtis Jones. Yes, we've got Szoboszlai. Yes, we've got Wirtz, but we want him as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Arsenal went, you know what? Like the look of that Stiller. Yeah, we've got Zubimendi. Yeah, we've got Rice, but Norgaard. Yeah, Stiller just adds a little bit more to our midfield as well. So these players could be gone very, very quickly to rivals. Gone are the days where you go, they don't need one. They bloody do. But going back to what the question actually was, Adeyemi, what about midfield? Well, if we think like that, we're going to sink. We can't just go, we need two midfielders, let's leave everything else. We haven't even built a first 11 yet, but we do need to build a squad if we want to compete. Absolutely. So look, let's see what happens with it. It's tentative. It's early days. It could be Man United being used by Mendes. Who knows? But I would be very excited about United going for somebody like Adeyemi. And it does pose the question, really, that beyond the midfield, we are going to have to do. I would hate people to think when we've got two midfielders, we're sorted, we're winning the league. I still think there's a hell of a lot of work to do on that team. And as we saw at the weekend, and it's not really been discussed enough, Cunha's performance at the weekend was crap. I'm a massive fan of Cunha, but it got forgotten about because Delict got the late equaliser. But Cunha was crap against Spurs. And why was he crap? You know, it was a bad game. I'll tell you why he was crap, because he's human. He's a human being. And footballers, are not, you know, when we're doing the charity stream or the career mode, that, you know, why are they playing badly? You're computer generated because the controller, me, is crap. But a human being can have a bad game. Now, the very, very best players have very few good bad games. But Cunha had a bad game at the weekend. I even heard somebody said, oh, the United curse is here already. You buy a good player and how long is it before they become a bad player? Well, that's not true. Cunha is just a flair player. He's a spark player. And he got frustrated and the spark went out and he didn't have a very good game. So this is what I mean. We've got Cunha, we've got Mbeumo, but they're not guaranteed to play well every week and they're not guaranteed to be fit every week. And look, beyond what I'm saying is beyond the midfield, if I was in charge of Man United, I would still be looking to bring in nine good players. Some people might say less, some people might say more, but I would bring nine players in. We still need another striker. I still think we need at least another number 10 to compete. Arguably two wide players, certainly two midfielders, certainly at least one centre-back. Obviously, we need another goalkeeper. So I think we need another nine players ASAP. If we want to go where we want to go, and my standards, and I think that maybe your standards are, that we go to the very, very top of football. So that's why I think that one's very interesting.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Adeyemi clears Cunha any day, but Mbeumo clears him, says King. Well, yeah, it's not really about that. It's about a good player being available. Alam says, Amrim in interview said next season Bruno will be on rotation because he knows new midfielders are coming in. I never saw that at all. What he actually said was he was asked about whether he would rotate Bruno Fernandes, and he basically said that... we'll have to see what happens next season with European football. Maybe I'll tell him that's going to happen and it'll make him play better or something like that. But yeah, I don't think Bruno Fernandes will be here next year. So I don't think we can say he's going to get rotated because I genuinely don't think he'll be here next year. Let me just move around a little bit here because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been on the overlap this week and he was asked about Ruben Amorim's system. Now, I don't know who was on the overlap. I think it was Scholes, not Carragher, Neville, Keane, Jill Scott and Ian Wright, I think. So I'm trying to think out of those people who don't like the Amorim system. I mean, Paul Scholes has said he prefers 4-3-3. And obviously, you know, Amorim system has come under scrutiny quite a lot. This is what Ollie had to say. He said, in relation to Amorim's system, it's horrible to face when it's well executed. Man United seems to win more matches when they have less than 50% possession. Now, a lot of people in the comments have said, oh, Ollie knows ball. Ollie, you know, this, that, and the other. Listen to what he's saying. On Amorim's system, it's horrible to face when it's well executed. Manchester United seem to win more matches when they have less than 50% possession. Now, what I like, and I liked it, I'm sure I liked it. Okay, what I've noticed some people have started doing well is calling this... they've started calling it vertical. Teams are struggling when we play more vertical. Do you know what vertical is? It's long ball. People are trying to rename long ball. Ollie's talking sense. Ollie knows ball. We're playing more vertical and teams are struggling with it. Call it what it is. We're playing bloody long ball. Come on. We're parking the bus and we're playing long ball. We can all see it. And that's exactly what Solskjaer's saying. He's basically saying it's a nightmare to play against when it's done well. Man United are winning a lot of games with less than 50%. We've spoken about this multiple times. I watched us against Spurs in the first half, and I was like, I don't think we're going to concede. You look at the pitch when Spurs are on the attack, and all you can see is red shirts. It's a back five. It's four ahead of them. Decent goalkeeper. And you think, how are you going to score against that? And then we win the ball, and it's this quick, long vertical, and we've got a corner, or we've had a shot on goal. So I think Solskjaer's absolutely correct. And he basically did, and I don't know what the possession stats were for Solskjaer when he took us to second, but we all know what Ollie Ball was. It was a low block. It was Maguire, what was it? Hoover Harry and Victor the Vacuum stuck in everyone close to them to protect themselves from being done for pace. McFred in front of them, two fullbacks pulled in, and then counter moments. So that worked really, really well under Solskjaer, and some of those players are still here. So they'll adapt to this very, very well. But it is a night, you know, what I liked about what Solskjaer said is it is a nightmare to play against. And I've visibly watched it on the watch along. How many times have we got a back five with two or three players in front of it? It's hard to break down. I've not heard anybody call it anti-football, thankfully, and hopefully that won't happen. But it's very difficult to break down, especially when you compare it to a Brighton or a Newcastle, or not a Newcastle, a Brighton or a Liverpool or a Chelsea. You know, these teams with they're more higher up the pitch. There's space in behind. There's no space in behind Man United. You can't get in behind Man United. We're so compact and deep, and we've got so many numbers. Most of the goals we're conceding do tend to come from crosses and deflections, because that's the only way to really score against us, put the ball in the mixer and hope for a deflection or someone gets on the end of it, because it's really difficult to get into it. So I think Solskjaer's right. I think we are hard to score against because of the way we play, and then we counter really, really quickly. And I thought it was a really interesting comment, because I think it's true. I've sort of been trying to allude to it in the watch along for a while now. We're really deep, and there's so many of us, and it's really difficult to break that down. And then what we look to do with the Bruno and the Casemiro is counter quickly into our quicker players like Mbeumo for sure and Cunha. It's effective, but I think the next 10 games are going to be really interesting, because if I was Wolves, if I was Everton, if I was Crystal Palace, there's no way I'm walking into that. I mean, Crystal Palace will be a very interesting game, because they basically do the same as us. Crystal Palace have a back five, put three or four players in front of it, and then counter at pace. So I think the Palace game will be really interesting. It's almost like who can score the corner first, and then the opposition have to come out. So there could be some games of chess. I wonder, you know, again, Everton might come and do that as well. So, yeah. GB says it's not effective, it's survival. Well, it is. We're a counter-attacking team, and it is very effective. The hope is that we keep winning, and it keeps being interesting. But, yeah, very interesting comment from Solskjaer there. He also had a couple of other things that I was interested to bring into the show as well. I've spoken to you about that one. Just very quickly, Lenny Oro, 20 today. I mean, happy birthday to Lenny Oro. We don't do that for every player, of course. Not a bloody birthday shout out. But look, the reason I wanted to quickly bring that in about Lenny Oro is 20 today, only just 20. You know, Mainoo, only 20. Dorgu, only just 21. And these are players that, all right, you know, I'm not rubbing it in with Mainoo, but these are players that have had quite a bit of football for Manchester United. 2 years is a long time. A year is a long time in football. And, you know, you think about Lenny Oro, for me, tell me I'm wrong, Lenny Oro is our starting centre-back. Lenny Oro with the Lits is, definitely a starting centre-back for me. I know he didn't start against Spurs. Maguire did. And I know he's been dropped for Maguire a few times. And I think that does tend to happen because of Amrim's obsession with experience and sometimes the threat of height. But, I mean, that is scary good, isn't it? That Lenny Oro is only just 20, halfway through this season. He's been here for a year and a half already. And in 2 years' time, which is another two seasons, he'll still only be 22. Development-wise, benefit, brilliant. I think he will go to Real Madrid at some point. I've always said that. I don't think it really matters, but I do think he'll go to Real Madrid. I listened to an interview with him last week where he said Man United's the best decision for now. You know, I'd be very surprised if Lenny Yoro stayed at Man United for 15 years or 12 years and went into his 30s. I think he will move at some point. And I think that was part of the deal, really. And some people have a problem with that because it's like nobody likes to think that their player might go to Real Madrid. But where we are as a football club at the moment, in 3 or 4 years' time, he probably would go to Real Madrid. What we need to do is make sure that when that happens, we make a lot of money out of it. Or when that happens, we can offer an alternative of we're the best team in England. We're competing for the Champions League. So I'm comfortable with that. I don't think with any player we sign, I want to go, you're going to be here for life. I think we have to provide that platform. But yeah, I mean, he's not going to go anywhere for 3 or 4 years, is he anyway? And that's the benefit for us. We get 3 or 4 years of this player developing, getting better and better and better, which I think is really exciting. I want to talk about a few more things from Solskjaer, but I've just realized I've had a few super chats coming in here that I need to catch up with. Miles says, laugh my arse off at those saying Adeyemi won't cut it in the Prem. Element of risk you get with every player. I rate him highly. Only way to find out. Martin Galane says, if Maynou's loaned, it needs to be Premier League for Premier League experience. See, I think they'd go opposite to that. I think that they won't loan into a Premier League club because they won't want the doorstep embarrassment. But we literally did it with Rashford last year. It doesn't really matter. He won't play against us. It doesn't really matter. I think he will want to go to Napoli anyway, and I think he probably will go there. I agree with you, though. If he goes to Napoli and does well, how does that benefit us next season? Because we all know the Premier League is quicker than the Italian league. So I agree. I think I would like to see him go on loan to a Premier League club, to be fair, but I think United will try and avoid that. What's the incentive for a player coming in to play second fiddle to Bruno and Casemiro, says Cameron Lane? But I think that's why it needs to happen, Cameron, because Ugarte and Maynou are definitively second best to Casemiro and Bruno. Absolutely. We can tell that half an hour a month, you know, they're fit and they're not being used. So Amrin, as is his right, doesn't rate them. So what you do is you say to Amrin, right,
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
We're going to loan Maynou out. And he goes, oh, I don't want you to because I'll only have 3 midfielders. And you go, no. We're going to loan Maynou out. But what do you want us to bring in January? And you've got to tell us somebody that you'd actually use. Don't tell us someone that you're just going to sit on the bench. Tell us someone that you're going to use. And that's what you do. And it still might be Casemiro and Bruno, but it'll be less because Casemiro and Bruno cannot play 90 minutes once a week. I've seen it. They can't do it. It's impossible. So we've saw it against Spurs. We've seen it against Forest. They get tired. Casemiro gets tired, definitely. And I'll tell you why they get tired in a minute. So this is why it's absolutely got to happen in January for another reason as well. Maynou's not being used, so you let him go, but you say, tell it's a player that you will use because you clearly need to use somebody. And when that new player comes in, it's an Amrin pick. Maynou is not an Amrin pick, and Ugarte is not an Amrin pick. So that's how you do that. Somebody just said, why does Casemiro get tied with one game a week? Stylistically, we have less than 50% possession. I don't know whether you've ever played the game, but trust me, when you've got the ball, you get less tired. When you haven't got the ball, psychologically, you get a lot more tired. Less than 50% possession in a game is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And also, the way we play is a lot of running. I've taken on board what De Ligt said last week, and I actually understand it. So when he said after the Spurs game, we're getting tired in the second half, it's there to be ridiculed because we've only got one game a week. But our subs aren't necessarily good enough. But the way we play football, the Premier League is still intense. It's still a very intense league. And the way we play it, no one ever gets a breather. It's 90 minutes non-stop basketball. It's to me, to you, it's Chuckle Brothers FC. So you imagine Casemiro in the Man United midfield. It's like there is never a period of let's just slow it down and keep the ball. It's always they're attacking, we're attacking, they're attacking, we're attacking. And the way we attack, it's so direct. It's like the ball can be with Luke Shaw. Oh, it's in the corner with Mbeumo. As a midfielder, you can be 10 metres away from Luke Shaw on the edge of our box, and then Mbeumo's got it all there, and you've got to run to the other edge of the other box. And then that breaks down, and then you've got to go back again. So there's a hell of a lot. There might not be a lot of possession, but there's a hell of a lot of running in that midfield for the likes of Casemiro and Bruno Fernandes. Now, if you just had 5% more possession, that ball from Luke Shaw might go into Dorgu, might come into your feet, play into Bruno. Bruno might switch it to the right wing back, who might give it back to De Ligt, who gives it back into the midfield. Give it into Cunha, he plays it back to Bruno, back to you. You know, it's just possession for 5 minutes. You're catching a breather, you're focused. We're not doing that. We're going bang, 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 bang. So there's a lot of running required. So we definitely do need another midfielder. And we would make subs if you trusted them. Tom Grant says, so that's to answer Cameron's question. What's the incentive for a player coming in to play second fiddle to Bruno and Casemiro? I think Amorim's crying out for a player to play second fiddle to Bruno and Casemiro, who's got the legs, who he likes. What positions can Adeyemi play? How could we utilise him, and what's his price tag? Looking forward to Ben Jacobs. It's happening today, yes, Tom. 1:45, we're live today. I'm looking forward to it as well. Got some questions. Adeyemi would primarily be a number 10 in our system. Potentially, you could use him as a false nine as well. Arguably, you could use him as a left wing back as well, or a right wing back, because he's not dissimilar to Ahmad in the sense that he could do that. But I think he'd be a very interesting profile of player. I don't see it happening, to be honest with you. I can see him going to, I think he'll end up at Munich or Barcelona. I think he's that type of a player, which is why Man United should be looking at it. Abel says, hi, Mark. 2 days ago, you gave a shout out to Abby Ayle, Ethiopia's top Man United content creator. He truly appreciates the recognition from a fellow Red Devil and sends his heartfelt thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Abel. And thank you, Abby. Thank you very much. Cunha, bad cause. No one knows what they are doing, says Keel Robinson. Shout out to our women's team in the Champions League beating PSG, says Tom Grant. Yes, well done to them. I probably would have watched that last night. No, I wouldn't. I had the eggs caught show, didn't I? But yeah, I mean, look, it's very good, and women's football is on the up. And I know a lot of you really do get into the women's side, so big shout out to them beating PSG last night. I don't know the context of how good PSG are in women's football, but I think Manchester United, in the context of the Premier League, we're sort of top four, aren't we? We're not quite the best, but I think we're sort of top four. Patrick Lynch says, in my opinion, best foreign league for a Man U loan would be the Bundesliga. Not as intense as the Premier League, but it's the closest of the European leagues in comparison. 100%. I mean, obviously we do the game every Friday and we have the highlights and everything like that. And at times the Bundesliga can feel quicker than the Premier League. It's not. The Premier League is the quickest and most intense league in the world. Absolutely. And I think the Bundesliga is the closest. But it can feel sometimes like it's quicker because their referees let the game flow more. So it feels like it's, you know, a game that doesn't stop and start feels quicker. But what I would say is that I just can't see that happening. I can't see where he would go. Dortmund would be good, but they wouldn't do it. They've got a lot in the midfield. Bayern don't need to do it. And I can't see him going to a Leipzig or a Leverkusen. So I don't think there'd be a club in the Bundesliga, Patrick, really. Class of 99 says, agree on the fatigue. Do you think it's unsustainable? Well, I think this is a really interesting thing. And I know it's more of an 8 o'clock show, and I've got these Solskjaer comments to come back to. But maybe we can pick it up on the 8 o'clock show tonight, actually. But I was talking to... That wasn't a trump, by the way. It's my hand on a piece of wood. That sounds even worse. It was a trump. No, it's like this. Polished wood. That's even worse as well. Just digging a hole here. So I was looking at Man United's fixtures. Did it again. Cast of 99. I was looking at Man United's fixtures over the next sort of Christmas festive period. And sustainability of this style of football is very, very tiring. Like the way Brentford play and the way Crystal Palace play, it is really tiring because you don't have the ball. And as I say, anybody who's played any level of football, whether it's five-a-side, you know, down the park with your mates, if the opposition have loads of the ball, it's really difficult because you're tired. You know, you're always concentrating, but you haven't got the ball. You're always less tired when you've got the ball. And we're sort of playing that way this year. As I said on the show last night, we averaged about 54% possession last season. We're averaging 50 this year. It's dropped by 4%, three and a half percent, 4% in one season. That's more work. That's the ball. And also, let's be clear, that's not just a drop off in 3.5%. That's the opposition having 3.5% more of the ball. So you've got to be more concentrated, more organized, more physicality. And I think at the moment, one game a week, we are. And I do wonder whether Amrim's done this on purpose, whether he's gone, what's the best way to guarantee you're going to win games? Park the bus and counter. But you wouldn't be able to do that if you're in Europe because your players would get injured and tired and exhausted because it's too much mentality. I don't think we could do this twice a week. We couldn't do this, what we did against Forest, then go away to bloody Roma and do it there. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it. So maybe Amorim has gone, right, let's analyze 20 years of football. I need to get Champions League football. What's the best way of doing it? Best way of doing it, compact, deep, counter. But it's going to take a lot of energy to do that. But we've only got one game a week. So maybe it's a conscious thing. But I've definitely noticed, and I do shout out De Ligt for it, saying they were tired after the Spurs game. I have sort of analysed it, and it's like, you can see Bruno and Casemiro in the last 20 minutes. Defensively, they're really struggling. I think when we've got the ball and we go forward, you get a boost, and we've seen that. But defensively, they're struggling. And, you know, he hasn't got the players that he trusts to bring on. So we're getting by at the moment. But you look at the schedule when we come back next week. We've got a Monday night game against Everton. Then we've got Crystal Palace on the Sunday. Then we've got West Ham on the Thursday. Then we've got Wolves on the Monday. Then we get a week off. Then we get another week off, like a week between Wolves and Bournemouth. Then there's 6 days between Man United and Villa. Then there's 5 days between us and Newcastle. 4 days between Newcastle and Wolves.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
And again, 4 days before we play Leeds, and then 3 days until we play Burnley, and then it's the FA Cup weekend. So there is an increase, even for us, without European football and Carabao Cup football, there is going to be an increase in the amount of games we're playing. We will lose two or three players for the AFCON as well. So it'll be interesting to see. The level of opposition is going to drop, but the increase in intensity is going to go up. And I think that we are exerting a lot of energy in our performances at the moment. I mean, God, the last two games, we've had to go and get a draw at the end. You know, that takes a lot of energy as well. Tony says, what is more important, play Cobby or a win? I think that's too literal, mate, because the answer is not. The answer is in your own question. I'm not saying sacrifice winning to start Cobby Mainoo. I'm saying let Cobby Mainoo go on loan and play football because he's a Man United player that we're not using and we are basically harming his development. Marlo says, Cunha is not suited for the current style of play. When and if Amrin will be able to implement his style, Cunha will thrive. Mount is certainly a better fit for that purpose at the moment, says Marlo. Thank you very much for that. Okay, let me come back because I want to go through some... We went into a bit of an 8 o'clock show there. Maybe we can pick that up later. But there is still some bits to touch on from Solskjaer. He said that on Scott McTominay, I was almost shocked. How can you be almost shocked, by the way? Imagine that when he was reading it, McTominay's gone to Napoli. Well, I tell you what, Mrs. Solskjaer, I'm almost shocked about that. I'm not shocked, but I'm almost shocked. I nearly went, what? But then I went, what? Anyway, he says, I was almost shocked. I think you need a core of local players who know and understand the club. He's shown in Italy what a superb player he is. He has an excellent, excellent personality that you want within the club. So that was Ollie in relation to McTominay going, who he loved. He loved Scott McTominay. And he did go on to say, actually, that he probably picked McTominay out of position because of the physicality of McTominay that was lacking in the team. So again, you know, I find that really fascinating. You've got Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who loved Scott McTominay, basically saying that, you know, he was shocked they got rid of him. But further to that, also, he probably did play him out of position because he was physical in the midfield because he didn't have players like that. So what Solskjaer's basically saying is even when he was here, the midfield was neglected and he had to play somebody out of position. Now, it's not quite the same as moving Bruno Fernandes from a number 10 into the midfield, but effectively that's what Solskjaer's saying. I had to play McTominay out of midfield because I was lacking physicality in what I had. So, you know, there is a strong case to say that we've neglected the midfield since Michael Carrick left. You could even argue we've neglected it since Roy Keane left. I mean, some of us do agree that we never really replaced Roy Keane. Michael Carrick was a very good player to bring in, but it wasn't a Keane replacement. So it's a position. I mean, can you remember the summer of Vidal that we didn't do? I just feel like United and midfield is something that we've never really done. We've tried it. Look, we've either ignored it or tried badly. Even Casemiro, at his age, was really a stopgap. It wasn't proper. Schweinsteiger, too old as well. Schneiderlin, not good enough. But it's interesting that Solskjaer speaks about McTominay and says that, you know, shocked, almost shocked, whatever, but I was effectively playing him out of position because I needed his physicality in midfield. You know, we need to solve this midfield issue. Games are won and lost there. And yeah, 100%. I did actually see something this morning about, I don't know whether I can find where it came from. Sources, concrete interest is Man United ready to re-sign Scott McTominay. Man United are one of the clubs eyeing up Napoli midfielder Scott McTominay after his superb form since moving to Serie A. That's coming from Court Offside. I mean, I don't know what would you. I think it's got to be a poll. Would you re-sign McTominay? Yes or no? Let me know in the chat. Would you re-sign Scott McTominay? I have answered this question before, and the answer is no, because as much as I think players like that are valuable, I agree with Solskjaer. They are valuable in the sense that
They know what the club's all about. We have got a few players like that. You know, we're keeping Harry Maguire for this. Like, how many more cheerleaders do we need? Like, would Scott McTominay start for Manchester United is the answer I would ask. And that's why it would be a no from me. He doesn't start for Man United because he's not, as Solskjaer's now admitted, as we've all seen since he went to Napoli, he's not a midfielder. So he can't play in the midfield too. So that's my priority. And you can't play there. He's a number 10, but he's not really the type of number 10 that we want in this system, because Amrin doesn't want to play Bruno there because he's not mobile enough. So McTominay's not mobile enough and he's not got enough flair. So I don't think McTominay suits the Amrin system. So it's got to be a no. That would be it for me. I can see why we'll get linked to him leaving Napoli, but I don't think you should go back. Very rarely should you go back, and I don't think we should go back in this case. But also, he doesn't suit the system. It's like saying, would you bring Marcus Rashford back? And no, for a lot of reasons, but mainly he doesn't fit the system that Man United play because he's not a striker and he's not a number 10. So no, it would be a big no from me on that one. Let's keep moving. Everybody's grooving. Amrin system we've spoken about. I've done that one. Yeah, this is what he said, Solskjaer. In my squad, Scott probably wasn't allowed to play in his best position enough. Was that because of Bruno? Yeah, Bruno and maybe the lack of physicality we had in midfield and legs we had in midfield. I mean, I know it's popular to sort of take a pop at Bruno at the moment, and I certainly would agree with you in relation to Bruno Fernandes playing as a midfielder, but I will anticipate it before somebody says it. Bruno blocking off another young United talent. Obviously, Bruno is blocking Maynou at the moment. We all know that. And from what Solskjaer said, Bruno was blocking McTominay playing as a number 10. In no way in a million years I'd be dropping Bruno as a number 10 for Scott McTominay. McTominay's position is a number 10, but I'd never have dropped Bruno for McTominay. No, never in a million years. So, yeah, I don't subscribe to that. I'm sure McTominay was blocked off by Bruno because in a 4-3-3, there's only one number 10. But I'd never have dropped Bruno for McTominay in a number 10. So, no, I'm quite comfortable with that. Honestly, we should never go back. It's never worked. Time to build for the future and move on from ex-players and anyone who's been here for 4 years, says John. Yeah, well, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. I think it's and look, before I go back to that, John, because it's a better comment than this, there was a comment from Ollie about Rashford saying, I've not spoken to him since he left, but takes texting a little bit. I don't know what's happened, but you can see he's enjoying himself. Probably looked like he didn't enjoy himself at Man United at the end. I mean, yeah, it's nice that he spoke about Rashford, but I don't really have anything to talk about that. I'd rather speak about what John said. And I'm still very much of the opinion that anybody that's been here over 4 years, we should be moving them on, because ultimately they're ingrained in failure, I suppose. And if you've been here for 4 years, I think the youngest person that's been here for 4 years is Delo. So you can't really say he's at the end of his career. But in the case of Delo, 4 years ago, I still held hope that he might become one of the best fullbacks in Europe. It hasn't happened, so it's time to go. Luke Shaw, he's been here over 4 years, been here nearly 10 years. Where are we at? You know, even if you think he's doing quite well at the moment, 10 years to be quite well, time to go. So I think I do agree with that, John. I think we do need to move some of these players on, certainly. And I think, you know, in the case of Delo, 4 years ago, there was talk of Real Madrid. You know, there was talk of, you know, big clubs coming in for him. And I just think that we do need to move on from this and build something new. I think about people like Phil Neville and Nicky Butt, who, you know, their class of 92 members, they were very, very good players for us. They hit a point where they went off to Everton and Newcastle because they wanted to play. And they were very good players that got moved on. So, you know, Kevin De Bruyne has just gone to Napoli. We're thinking about keeping Casemiro. Like, I think there's a mentality that we need to get into, that players that have had time here and it's not really got where we wanted it to, you replace them. But that is a Glazer tactic. The Glazers would rather keep something and spend no money then replace it and potentially improve. Will we build our team around Elliot Anderson to win trophies or sell him if he does well? Not sure what Sir Jim means by his future talk, says Francesco. I mean, it's very hard to sell him on if you spend a lot of money on him. I would hope that we would bring in players in that like that to build a future. Thank you very much, Francesco. I've done that from class of 99 as well. Okay, lovely stuff. Okay, so we are back. Ow. We are back at 1:45 this afternoon. Not 2 o'clock, 1:45, because Ben Jacobs has got to be done by 2:30. So we'll go live at 1:45 with Ben Jacobs. I mentioned that because it's always a good show every Thursday. And also we can delve into that Elliot Anderson thing and see if we can understand why his price would be less, considerably less than £100 million, even if we have to start guessing and see how he reacts. We'll also talk about Adeyemi. We'll talk about the attack. We'll talk about other midfielders, lots of other things as well. Thanks everyone for watching. 8 o'clock show tonight, as always, with me. Looking forward to that. Really enjoyed them this week. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.